Wednesday, December 11th. First reading from Isaiah chapter 40, verses 25 through 31. To whom can you liken me as an equal, says the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high and see who has created these things. He leads out their army and numbers them, calling them all by name. By his great might and the strength of his power, not one of them is missing. Why, O Jacob, do you say, and declare, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my right is disregarded by my God? Do you not know, or have you not heard? The Lord is the eternal God, creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint nor grow weary, and his knowledge is beyond scrutiny. He gives strength to the fainting. For the weak he makes vigor abound. Though young men faint and grow weary, and youths stagger and fall, they that hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar as with eagle's wings. They will run and not grow weary, walk and not grow faint. Haydock provides little commentary on this first reading. We proceed to the Gospel, from Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. Jesus said to the crowds, Come to me, all you who labor and are burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am meek and humble of heart, and you will find rest for yourselves. For my yoke is easy and my burden light. From the Great Commentary by Cornelius a Lapide. Christ calls all who labor, so none are excluded, for there is no one who does not labor under some disease and need Christ's medicine. Therefore Christ offers himself to all, that they may receive from him health and safety. Thus did he kindly correct and heal Magdalene, Matthew, Paul, and Peter. Thus, even now in the Eucharist, he inviteth all and saith, Come unto me, ye infirm, hungry, afflicted ones, and I will refresh you. He calls all who labor, that is, all who suffer trouble and are burdened, who are fatigued and depressed, and are sinking under the burden both of sins as well as of the law of Moses, and also of the troubles and temptations of this life. He says, I will refresh you, that is, I will give rest to the weary. I will place you in all quietness, by most soothing words, by sacraments as most efficacious medicines, by grace and most sweet inward consolations, lastly, by most felicitous glory in heaven. Take my yoke upon you. He means, you have borne a heavy and well-nigh intolerable yoke and the burden of the old law of sin and concupiscence. Come unto me, and I will take it away. I will change it into the sweet yoke of the evangelical law of grace and charity. I will refresh you by my yoke, which indeed is a yoke because it is a law binding the soul, but at the same time it is medicine, yea, a bed, in which ye may sweetly rest, especially by means of the humility which it teaches and commands. For it is the one and only medicine of all diseases, both of soul and body, and the alleviation and rest of all burdens. For nothing is harsh to the meek, nothing difficult to the lowly. For as wool receives cannonballs and breaks their force by its softness, so meekness and humility break and soften all hard and rugged things. This yoke, therefore, is the gospel of Christ and the law of grace. Whence St. Bernard says, He invites those who labor to refreshment. He calls those who are laden to rest. And yet he does not take away either burden or labor, but he exchanges them for another burden, another labor, but a light burden, a sweet yoke, wherein rest or refreshment, even though it appear not, nevertheless is found. He says, And learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, that is, in the affection of the heart, or the will. For many are lowly in word, few in heart. He says, according to St. Augustine, Take my yoke upon you and learn of me not to frame a world, not to create all things, visible and invisible, not to do miracles in the world and to raise the dead, but that I am meek and lowly in heart. Dost thou wish to be great? Begin from the least. Thou art thinking of constructing a mighty fabric of loftiness. Think first of the foundation of humility. And as great as each one wishes to build up his edifice, the greater the building, so much the more deeply let him dig his foundation. Learn, he says, not of an angel, not of a man, not out of a book, but from me, that is, from my dwelling in you and working in you, because I am meek and lowly in heart, and in thought, and in sense, and ye shall find rest from internal conflicts in your souls. Do not fear to come to me and to take the yoke of my gospel on your neck, for if ye come and receive it, ye shall indeed learn that I am no tyrant, nor a severe and rigid king, but a lowly, meek, clement, and benign Lord. Moreover, Christ was of so great humility and meekness in bearing with the scribes, his disciples, and the multitude, in bearing injuries, derision, the scourge, the cross, and death, that even if he had wrought no miracle, he would, by such meekness, have proved sufficiently, and more than sufficiently, that he was the man from heaven and the true prophet sent from God. We should admire more Christ's meekness than his miracles and his raising the dead. Learn from hence how great and how dear to Christ is humility. It is as if he said, learn of me not to create a world, not subtly to dispute concerning God and the Holy Trinity, not to perform Herculean labors, but that I am meek and lowly in heart. Humility is the secret of peace. There is no rest for the mind save in humility. Do you wish for rest? Embrace humility, a lowly place, a lowly office, humble food, clothing, etc. It is impossible for the proud to have peace of soul, because they always desire great things, and often are unable to attain them. Humility takes from man every labor and all burdens. Humility is the alleviator of every labor and the renewer of strength. Humility is a medicine against all diseases and health of soul and body. Humility is the virtue of Christ. Learn of me, he says. This is mine own special virtue, dear to me above all others, which by descending from heaven to this lower world and by stooping to the shameful death of the cross, I manifested in such a manner that none should be more illustrious and more wonderful in my life and in my death. Thus, on the contrary, pride is the sin of Lucifer. Humility, therefore, makes us more like Christ. What could be more worthy? What more desirable? Well, says St. Augustine, they who have learnt of the Lord Jesus to be meek and lowly in heart make greater progress by praying and meditating than by reading and hearing. Christ here joins meekness with humility because they are, as it were, twin sisters, or as mother and daughter. Whence St. Bernard says, like as naughtiness is the mother of presumption, so true meekness proceeds only from true humility. John Climacus says, the light of dawn goes before the sun. Meekness precedes humility. Therefore, let us hear first Christ the light, who disposes those things, as it were, by steps. Learn, he says, of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. After that, he thus defines meekness. Meekness is the immutable state of the mind which preserves an equable frame in good fortune and in disgrace. Meekness is sincerely and ex animo to pray for those who trouble you without being troubled yourself. Meekness is a jutting rock against the fury of the sea, which breaks all its waves, whilst itself remaining unmoved and unbroken. Meekness is the prop of patience, the gate of charity, yea, its very parent, the proof of prudence. For he will teach, saith the Lord, the meek his ways. It is the procurer of pardon, the confidence of sinners in prayer, the habitation of the Holy Spirit. As we hear in Psalm 66, for upon whom shall I look, save upon the meek and quiet person? Christ says, my yoke is sweet. The yoke and burden of Christ is the gospel. The law of the gospel, therefore, is a yoke because it binds us to discipline, lest anyone should depart from justice. The Greek for sweet is not sweet like sugar, but beneficial, humane, kind, good in comparison with the old law. First, because it has fewer and easier precepts. Second, because it gives greater grace, which much lightens the burden of the command. Third, because it rules us as sons, not by fear as servants like the ancient law. Fourth, because it does not threaten nor bring in death like the old law, but takes it away. Fifth, because it promises to those who keep it the most felicitous life, and, as it were, leads them by the hand to the sweetness of celestial joys, according to the words, they shall be satisfied with the fullness of thy house, thou shalt give them drink of thy pleasures as out of a river. Psalm 36. He says, therefore, take my yoke upon you, because in the yoke of divine servitude, perfect consolation and refreshment are included. Whence St. Ambrose says, receive therefore the yoke of Christ. Do not fear because it is a yoke. Make haste because it is light. It does not bruise the neck, but dignifies it. Why do you doubt? Why delay? It does not bind your neck with chains, but couples it with grace. It does not constrain of necessity, but directs the will to do good works. That is called a yoke which two beasts joined together bear. Christ then places one portion only of the yoke, that is the evangelical law, upon our neck. He himself bears the other and heavier part, and therefore he draws this yoke with us, and infuses strength and courage into us to draw it, both by his grace and by his example. St. Bernard aptly compares this burden to the plumage of birds. He writes, in the way of life, the more swiftly, the more easily we run, and the larger the Savior's light burden grows, the more portable it becomes. Does not the quantity of plumage a bird has lighten rather than weigh it down? Take away its feathers, and what remains of it is borne down to the ground by its own weight. Thus likewise is Christ's discipline, thus his sweet yoke, thus his light burden. If we lay it down, we are ourselves depressed, because he carries us rather than is carried by us. St. Ambrose adds, to carry the yoke of Christ is sweet if you consider it an ornament to your neck, not a burden. Lift up therefore thine eyes to the Lord thy God, seek God, and thou shalt find him. Erect thy neck, thou carriest a necklace, not a chain. Many creatures delight in a necklace, and seem to themselves to be adorned rather than made naked. Like as the cheeks of the turtle dove will bear the marks of her modesty, the necklace of her neck will raise the presumption of her liberty. There is nothing more glorious than that yoke of Christ. St. Bernard, by yoke and burden, understands the load of God's gifts and favors, because the burden of the law which is imposed is the gift of grace, the perfect observance of which brings all other gifts into the mind. God burdens us when he unburdens us. He lades us with benefits when he unlades us of our sins. Moreover, to the proud and carnal, the yoke of Christ and the law of humility, abstinence, continence, mortification seems very heavy and intolerable, because they are devoid of the Spirit, and only love and think of the flesh and fleshly things. Thus says St. John Chrysostom, "Virtue is rugged if it be compared with our weakness, for that it is easy and light, hear Christ testifying, my yoke is sweet and my burden is light. But if thou dost not understand, let not wonder seize thee, for thou art not of a brave mind. For as, when strength of mind is present, heavy things become light, so when it is absent, light things become heavy. What, I ask, was sweeter than manna? What readier to their hand? Nevertheless, the Jews murmured when they were feeding on delicacies. What more dreadful than the hunger and the other labors which Paul endured? Nevertheless, he rejoiced and was glad, saying, now I rejoice in my infirmities. What then was the cause of these things? Diversity of mind, which, if thou wouldst make it such as it ought to be, thou wouldst discern the easiness of virtue."